You know, in a conference like this, this is not a regular kind of meeting. This is a meeting that takes the form of a time of what I can call consideration. You begin to consider things and yourself. You judge yourself. You weigh yourself. You're not here for somebody else to know whether somebody is praying or not. That's why for the past few years I've stopped being around so that I don't bother myself with who is not praying. I also have to pray. I have my own life. As a preacher, the whole year you are here and there. You have my own life. Paul says, take heed to yourself. Acts 20 and 28. And to the flock. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Same thing in 1 Timothy 4:16. Say, take it to yourself. You must take it to yourself. Say, I take it to myself. Sometimes you can be very particular about what people are not doing right and you're not watching yourself. You're so particular about what others are doing right or doing wrong, pardon me, and you're not watching yourself. And you see, and I'm going to share this on Thursday. I have so many things to share in this conference. Very, very, very different. A lot of younger ministers, in the bid to make corrections, they think on elderly ones, older ones, lose sight of their own lives. And I'm going to tell you this. Many will eventually be worse examples of the things they criticize. You don't get better by watching somebody else make error. Or you don't get better by spotting people's errors. You only get better by learning. And sometimes it's good to watch. I like to study history. And I like to watch people and then watch myself and see my own self. I love to think. I don't know about you. Years ago, we were in the secondary school, Government College, Ibadan. And a dear friend of mine is gone to be with the Lord now. Pastor Lan knows him well, very, very well. And he was like our Kenneth Hagin. No, he wasn't our Kenneth Hagin. He was our Benny Hinn and Kenneth Hagin. Both together. He gave me my first copy of Good Morning, Holy Spirit in 1991. And then he took us on a series. So he was quite a remarkable fellow. So later on, he went to secondary school then. Then he came to the fellowship to preach because, you know, he was well anointed, as you should call it. So he came to preach. So he wore agbada. I mean, you know what that means. No, he was through. I think he was through then. He was through. We were in the senior class. So he came with agbada to the school. And he ministered powerfully because he will usually minister powerfully. I remember there was a day he ministered to me and I was in a trance for over 6 hours. So he used to minister like that, powerfully. In fact, when we were in secondary school, they will come and call him in the class that somebody from another school, they called him one time that somebody had gone mad and was chained. And he said he couldn't go. That was too busy. That take this handkerchief. When she sees it, she'll be free. As they approached the lady and showed the handkerchief, she was free. Secondary school. It was a very close friend of mine. So when they wore the agbada, I didn't see the man who was like our father then. He actually saw most of us born again. We got born again right in his eyes, right before him, pardon me. So he said, you know, when we were all in the euphoria of what a meeting, what a glory meeting, we're still taking the pictures of the glory cloud and all that. So he said, why did so so and so wear Agbada? I felt, with all the glory here, this man is Agbada. He said, is he his own? You know, those are questions young people will not ask. I felt, this man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. He said, if you can borrow Agbada to preach, that means you are trying to make an impression. I didn't see any sense in what he was saying. I felt, we're talking about the glory of God. That's what he said. He said, why would you do that? Why are you trying to be what you are not? Years later, I saw the reason why that man saw what we never saw. Sometimes you can be so particular about others and you have failed to look at yourself. In Matthew's Gospel 7 verse 1, Jesus said that judge so that you will not be judged. For with the measure you judge others, you judge also. He said you can have a log of wood in your eyes. Some people think the problem in Nigeria is men of God taking tithe. That's nonsense. That's not the problem. That's not the problem of Christianity. That's not the problem. The problem is not tithes. That's not the problem. Yes, it's a doctrinal issue on tithe, but that's not the problem. You can have a log of wood right in your eyes, and you're trying to pick a speck of dust in people's eyes. Sometimes you need to watch yourself. And ask yourself questions about yourself. Because I've told you before, you are not in entertainment. It is those in entertainment that are particular about those cheering them. I don't have a problem with what I'm about to say, but I'm just going to give you an expression. Somebody asked me, said he observed, that was a couple of months ago, said, when was the church founded? That Saints Community Church. I said, 2007. He said, so this is your 10th year anniversary. Something I never thought. He said, how come you're not doing something? I said, anniversary of what exactly are we to celebrate? It is a ministry. You were sent to fulfill a task. And you are celebrating anniversary. I hope you are getting my point. You think it's a company? No, you were sent to fulfill a task. And you are still doing it. Imagine your boss at work sends you to fulfill, to do some assignments. Maybe they give you a project, you know, and it's a project, a 5-year project. And then just at the stage where you are drawing the plan, you now call people to come and eat with you. You may lose your job. Or you enter your first year in school. You've not taken any test. And you are partying. So why are you partying? Say, we just finished a semester. So we want to just clear the road. I said, the time to celebrate is at the end. When you will have done what he asked you to do. I don't have a problem with those who celebrate. I just told you my persuasion. Paul says, some will consider a day. Some will say they don't consider any day. Say, let each man be persuaded in his own mind. Some even celebrate ordination. They pound yam. Yam. Pounded yam for ordination. They take pictures for ordination. They wear, say, what are you doing? Say, Brother Tunde is now Reverend Tunde. And you discover that as you are pouring oil on his head, he's pretending like he's crying. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. As soon as they let him go like this, he changed his steps. He's walking with oil now. So as he goes out there taking selfies and all that, immediately just start dancing. He said, and he's dancing. Say, what's going on? Say, I was just ordained. I'm not a reverend. So people have pictures. I was ordained to bear the title reverend 23 years ago. Don't start calling me reverend though. 23 years ago. I never picked the title. And throughout that period, I maintained my brother. I was called brother. Yes, yes. It's not a ministry gift, though. Because then we still used to refer to Pastor Kumuyi as Brother Kumuyi. So you look at yourself and you say, you are Reverend what? You say, your pastor is brother, so, so, and so, and you are Reverend. That on its own is a mysterion. Sometimes, and you know, you can never know you are proud till there's a reason for it. When you are down, there's no reason to be proud. When you are nobody. You can be very humble when nobody's listening to your sermons. You are the one posting and pasting the pictures. You know, some people put things on Facebook and they'll write great meeting themselves. Say, wow. He put it there and he says, wow. Just like you write a comment and you like it. I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just wondering why. You wrote something and then you liked what you wrote. It's fine. Just asking why. And then you begin to, when you are posting pictures, you say, that guy is a humble man of God. You are the one putting the flyers. You write your book. You autograph it before you give you. People ask for autograph. You are writing for them. I've autographed it for you. They'll say, that brother is very, very humble. He's very humble. Very humble. In fact, and you see, maybe his fellowship is really a fellowship. Selah. And they say, very humble. You are not sure yet. You know, the example of humility we're giving was he being in the form of God. That's very high. Forget King James. Thought it not robbery. terrible description. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Made himself the form of a servant. He lost his reputation. That's humility. No, you don't have anything that you are behaving like it. That is normality. I'll share a bit of that on Thursday. So you check yourself. You look at yourself. I know some people, when they joined the church, they could be bowing for the door. Good morning, door. After every sermon, they can say, you are a blessing, Pastor Lan. You are the blessing. No, you are Abraham, you know. And they say those kind of things. But if you, then what they are telling him, somebody is telling them, bro, so, so and so. You are a blessing. Bam. So he begins to see himself in the light of what he has been told. So unlike before, the way he will come to the service, his steps will even change. He's now walking in dominion. You know, maybe you don't know. When we were younger ministers, these are things we learned wrongly. We even had man of God walk. I won't give you the example. There's a way you will look when you are walking to the pulpit. It's a style. Because then we were now, because we understood a lot of insight. We'll be looking for trouble. You come. And we know the guy is a man of God. Say, what do you believe? The guy said, how? Explain John 3:16 for me. We were doing that all over the place. After a while, you've probably heard this before. Some of you have heard it. We started to put things in our head. I did it. I mean, there was this haircut. Then we put it. Then I started wearing chain. Necklace. Hand chain. Then two rings. It's impossible to think it's me. You know why we're dressing like that? Because we understood the Pauline revelation. That was the reason, though. No. Then when we're going for a meeting, we call ourselves College of Bishops. We don't know the year, so I won't tell you the year. We'll now put something on top like this. Like when you cut Ashoke, put on black suit with your ring and frowning. You know why? Because you understood the Pauline revelation. Say, so come here. Do you understand this verse? The guy says, eh, say no, 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 no. Read it in context, read the first before. Until one day, I almost mentioned the year. We had just had a miracle crusade. So one of us said, guys, where we are going, we may not survive it. He was joking. But that joke became serious. I remember we were cooking this concussion rice. Ah! As he said, it didn't lose taste. Say, so, who will survive it? See the way we are behaving. You know, it's good to tell ourselves, why are we behaving like this? And when we are walking like this, you know they are moving. Ah! I won't give you that step. Why? Because you have the Pauline revelation. What should Paul now do? We were busy saying, this one does not understand. That, and we were the first one that should understand. Remember Reverend Mark Hankin said this to me 5 years ago. He said, the more you know, the more you defer to people. Knowledge actually makes you defer to people. D-E-F-E-R. You defer to people. He said it's because of that thing that you know. Are you there? You watch yourself. Nobody can watch you like yourself. Watch yourself. Jesus gave the parable, said, while men slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares. Some things can be sown in your life by the kind of friends you kept, by the places you went to, and things like that. So that's when you know you are proud. I remember the first time I spoke on a radio program in Ghana. They just said, because I had impressed the Bible school so much, after I finished teaching, that was in 1995. They now called me, which Bible school did you attend? They served to my hand. I said, the school of the word and the Holy Ghost. It was just a prideful statement. I said, hey, where is that? I said, ah, 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 ah. I said, it's within. So the guy said, I just speak at the radio station. And as I was going there, I was behaving like it didn't affect me, but inside me, I was climbing a horse. Say, all the way from Nigeria. I'm now an international speaker. I'm now speaking to the nations. That's Ghana. Ghana that you can jog. If you jog very fast, you'll get to Ghana before you get to Abuja. As I spoke, they gave me 3 minutes. Or 5 minutes or so. As I was speaking, as I left, my shoulders, got high and lifted up. I'm now an international speaker. So by the time you now watch, maybe you watch Pastor Adebayo on TV, you say, we are mates. You're on TV, I'm on radio. Even though you're only, you not pay. And I'll just quickly say something and get out. Always know how to watch yourself. Do it. Let me say this. The most foolish thing you can do as a preacher of the gospel is to entertain people. Don't entertain anybody. Don't try and make people feel good. It's not worth it. So tonight, I just want to share a few thoughts with us and we. I call it, there's always a cost. What did I say? Say it loud. There's always a cost. Always know that there's always a cost. You know, upon the new birth, a born again, born of the Spirit of God, you are sanctified. We are called to follow. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, Paul writes the same thing. He said, be ye followers of God as dear children. He mentions to walk in love, and to follow. In Hebrews 12, 14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. So there's a following. There's a following. There's a new birth. The new birth is not to follow. The new birth is instantaneous. The new birth is a birth. You are eternally in God's kingdom, in God's family. You are an heir, a joint heir with Christ, Romans 8, 16 and 17. You are born of the Spirit of God, John 3, 5. And you are called to follow. And so, there's a cost to this. There's a cost to following. And go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. Now, Jesus, don't forget the background, he sends his own disciples, whom we can call at this point his apostles. He sent them around to preach. Then he gives them certain notifications. What's the notifications? There are some things you must know. Quickly. Matthew's Gospel chapter 10. Look at verse 31. It says, fear ye not therefore, you have more value than many sparrows. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Look at 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. This doesn't look too nice. Why? You think what he's talking about is that there will just be unusual war. And then you know they are, say, well, you know the kind of in-law fight. Say, who cooked the rice? Who ate it? That's not what he's talking about. come here. Banker, when you enter this house, you did not greet me. No, I greeted you. You did not greet me. You didn't open your mouth. You know those kind of things. No, that's not what he's talking about. It's not fight over property. No. It's not saying that. Or somebody just comes and say, our grandfather died. We saw it that you are the one that killed him. We saw you in the dream holding his neck. That's not what he's talking about. At all. He's not talking about human fights and strife. No. Whatever he's relating with has to do with him. See, Christ can bring war. Hear that very well. He's the Prince of Peace. Okay? But he can bring war. How many of you, let me just quickly say this before I go further. How many of you have ever received a slap before for preaching the gospel? Why now? What about you've been chased out of somewhere? Not, please go. You were going and they were following you. Okay? What about cutlass? Okay? We're coming home. Let me stop there. You know, who brought that upon you? It's Jesus. I'm not saying that you were chased out of a place because you did not pay your rent. Don't say Christ. That's not Christ. That's financial. That's not what I'm talking about. Now look at this. He says, he that loves father, he explains himself, or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He begins to explain. He that takes not his cross. Now don't forget, he sent them out to preach. He tells them what to preach. He goes ahead to tell them what they will meet as they go to preach. Persecutions. Do you know the truth is that they never came back to mention any. Obviously, he was preparing them for the future. Because this particular mission was for a few days. So, whatever he was saying here was just like many of his statements, you know, theologians will call it a holy statement. There were things he made about occurrences that were in the future. Because, you know, when they came back and said, hey, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. That was what they came back. So this never happened to them yet. So, he was preparing their minds. Watch this now. In verse 38, he that takes not his cross. Let's take verse 38 together. Let's go. Takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross. A statement found only in the gospel. Four gospels. He that takes not his cross and follows me. He's not talking about sickness and pain. No. He's not referring to all that. He's not referring to being broke. No. He just told you that you will be opposed. There will be war. That's what he said. Look at it again. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. So what's he talking about? Jesus is talking about priority. No. There are some of us with so much treasure, human acceptance. Acceptance by family, friends. We so like it. We want them to see what we're doing. We want them to appreciate it and like it and love it. Even though they are not doing it. How will somebody appreciate what you are doing and he's not doing it? Think about it. How can you expect somebody who is not prayerful to love your prayer life? How? He says, he that will save his life, that will find it, shall first of all lose it. He's talking about priority. He's not talking about dying. That is, you have placed priority. That Christ comes first for me. Over family, over friends, over every kind of relationship that I have. There are too many people today that are so scared of opposition. Some of us didn't choose to mind when we were younger. But as we grew older, we started having funny feelings when people oppose us. You almost, when you were younger, you knew you were doing the will of God. But as you were growing up, you would check, is there something I'm doing that is wrong? You know why? Because you've allowed carnality to come in. So I'm thinking, is there something I'm, why? I mean, this brother is a church. He goes to church. He's zealous. Why does he have a problem with my life? Why? Why? And you're thinking, something you never thought of before. It's not that you're growing up. You're actually not growing. Because persecution is not a season. It's part and parcel of following Christ. It's not a season of your life. If you found out somewhere along the line, you are so socially acceptable, everything you are doing is acceptable, everybody likes it, Muslim, Christian, me do, atheist, monotheist, monotheist. Brother, sister, there's a compromise somewhere. Somewhere. Along the line. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Look at Mark 10. Priority. Mark 10. In verse 28. Lord, said Peter, we have left all and have followed you. Notice the context. And he said, answered and said, well, I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel. It's funny that people use this one for sowing seed. How did you get, God help us. How did you get seed out of this verse? Times 100. Verse 30. For he shall receive an hundredfold in this time. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. Imagine he's saying to you, for the cause of Christ, you left behind your family and your comfort, and you are going from place to place. That's what he's saying to them. That all of a sudden, those who are not your natural siblings are now called your siblings. Those who are now, who are not related to you, are now the ones acting like that towards you. I don't know any parents that would like that. I'm telling you. I don't know any friend that would love that. But look at what he said. He said, if you have left behind all this, you will receive this. So there'll come a time like that, that what you refer to as brother will change. What you refer to as father, mother, may change. Based on the mission he sent you. That's what happened here. They're going from place to place. Praise the Lord. And so, this was it. This was the cost. There was a cost to it. He was preparing them ahead of time. That following me is costly. Following me has a cost. There's a cost to it. There's a price to it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There's a cost to it. Someone was telling me how they told him at work. And said, well, if you would be off this week for this conference, you will not be paid. So he told me the first time. He told me the second time. I said, are you complaining? He said, no, I'm just telling you, sir. Because that's the cost. Are you not happy? Well, I'm happy, sir. I'm just telling you. So I would like things like, for serving the Lord, someone to just hug you and say, well done, thou faithful servant. So that's the person that will say that to you. You don't get my point. No. That's not true. There's no reason to tell anybody that. That cost is between you and Jesus. Praise the Lord. There's a cost to it. Sometimes it's comfort. Sometimes it's pleasures. Sometimes it's the advantages you enjoy. I told you yesterday, can you remember the power of what? Inconvenience. Can you remember that yesterday night? Inconvenience. It's in inconvenience that you will know your true convictions. Inconvenience. Then you will really know your true convictions. Many folks can be very excited when they're on the campus. Ah! Their thirst for knowledge. Brilliant. They'll go after it. I remember I told them Pastor Lan and Brother Alex, they said then. I said, watch when people graduate. You know, when you're on campus, there are some things that you will not see. You know, there are some, I don't know how to say this, but I'll say it. There are some boasts you make when you're a student, you don't say when you graduate. I'm saying that boast on the pulpit. Oh gosh. You don't repeat it again. You just keep quiet. Because you have grown in perception. You have seen things better. When I was a younger Christian, you know, we used to have this, we call it African Invasion Mission, but we had a subgroup of missionaries that were then. So we'll pray in the morning. Say, Lord, give me today's suffering. But me, I didn't used to pray it. And it was very technical. So as they said, I was just praying in tongues. How can I ask him to give me? So we're making vows. And we said, we will never build a house. This world is not our home. And I said, I will build. But I will not put gate. Whatever that meant, I don't know. I won't put gate and door. There's nothing inside that anybody cannot come and take. Well, at that point, what did I have? To know what can be inside. So when you're young, but you graduate, particularly your final year, you know, when you enter university, there's a faith confession of your grade point, GP. Say, I'm coming out of the school with a first class upper. Everybody's always in the first class until the first semester. Then second semester. And I was in the faculty of law. Everybody was boasting. The very first test, the highest was 2. Over 40 or something. Everybody adjusted their confession. 2. People had 0, minus 2, minus 4. Your confession just changed. You started seeing yourself as grasshoppers. So you begin to, you know, as you enter your final year, some things begin to, there was somebody in my school. She entered final year and she went to take extra year. She didn't have any carryover. So she's afraid to graduate. I never seen that before. You graduate, then some things start dawning on you. Of course, the first few months you'll be doing deep Bible study, no job. That's when you'll be criticizing every teaching on Facebook. No, wrong. The meaning of that word is colocos. You don't have job yet. You are yet to resume in any office. So you have time. You are even borrowing airtime. What's that thing on airtime? Borrow me credit or something. After you borrow, they call you one, they say, Oga. Oh, Alpha! How you graduate? You go for service here. And life starts to change. Just resume in an office. Not church office. 7:30. You get there. They give you target. They won't see your face on the book again. Then you start finding out your true convictions. Because you cannot know your priorities till your comfort, your pleasures, and your dream come into conflict with God's call upon your life. Because you will have to feed yourself. He that does not work should not eat, is in the scriptures. You have to feed. You have to labor with your hand, that which is good. Have a family if you choose. Have your own pursuits, your own interests. And here you are. It says to you, you mustn't love them like you love me. A family is God's blessing. A house, a car, they're God's blessings. They're all God's blessings. But he's saying to you, you mustn't love them like you love me. So there comes in the cost. There's always a cost. Following Christ is not easy. It means that while you'll be having your own concerns, which are legitimate, you make them secondary. And you will see people of your status, your age, your family, pursue the same thing vigorously, but you cannot do it that way. Because he asked you to take up your cross. And that's why you will see the apostles in Acts 5:41. After they were threatened. These are adults. These are adults. In fact, by the time you know their status, by the time Peter is telling you we've left behind houses, a Jew, a status symbol is a house. A house, a lands, and all that. And such people are now being threatened by the council. Not just that. They were now giving koboko. You know koboko? For them to flog you. Real flogging. Remember, one time, we had just finished praying. We're going to storm one village like that. We said, we'll storm the place. We'll take over. We had prayed. We spoke in tongues. We spoke interpretation. We said everything. Hours. We had sweat. I remember my grandmother asked me, where are you going? She said, we're taking over. We're all sweating. We're about 8 of us. No, 5. We were praying. That's how we went. We're preaching. One elderly woman warned us that we should not stay too far. We are no. Because we are bred. We are bold. He said, bo. Ha. He was stoned. Bo, ha. This is like increasing in glory. Ha. Ba. I just saw some boys. Coming. Ha. One of our brothers. He was going to this direction like this. He was... My slippers is still there. I didn't go back. Someone said, why? Jesus said that where they don't accept you, dust the floor. You can imagine. You left your own home, the comfort of your bed, that nobody was stressing you, to be stoned. As if that was not enough. Later that month, I want to preach somewhere on Lagos Road near Ragolis then. And somebody said, you still came here? I said, you brought the love of God. He said, hold on. Do you know this thing there, they grind pepper with? Just carry the entire thing. I didn't know that was what she was going to do. I said, pash! And it was a major road. No, it was one with pepper. So, one of my dad's friend, his wife said, is this how you are doing your life? You know, he's like, how dare you that you are living like this? I thought about it. stone, pepper. In fact, that particular week, I had to sleep because by the time let me round off that part. My dad had excommunicated me from the house. So I was staying in an uncompleted building. So I just thought about it. For that particular night, because in that building, there will be all sorts of stuff there. And so I said, this is not necessary. You know, you think about it. And the most important thing is that the people you are even reaching out to, they're not even getting born again like that. you just wonder. What is this about? And then you now see one classmate of yours. He now drove his father's car. Down. Fine car. He's enjoying his father. He's enjoying his father's car. He's not preaching the gospel. So, what's up now? How now? If you don't like car, you must be living in the stone age. Say you like chariot. So, you will think about it. And I had no one to complain to because I was taught. I remember I read a book, I won't mention the author, and he said the moment you share to people what you are doing for the Lord, you lose your reward. So if you ask me, I'll say, I'm fine. I remember Sister Beatrice and me, man, she's in Ibadan now. She said, are you sure you are okay? Because she came to visit me. She discovered that she had said she was going to stay over. She discovered she didn't stay anywhere. Why are we not going to your house? I said, I'll explain. She said, what's going on? I said, everything is fine. I knew. I was a pastor in the fellowship. Then, I will have 2 weeks, we'll have meetings. And I'll go on fasting. Some of them were deliberate. Some of them were not deliberate. When there's no fasting, you just wake up and say, there's no food. Lord, today's your own. That's what Pastor said, fasting often. And so one day I will preach and the whole place will, so they will see me off and they'll normally find that they'll see me off to a point. And I say, bye bye, go, don't worry, have it. So one sister said, I'm not stopping. I want to see you to your house. I said, don't worry, it's good. I want to pray in tongues. I said, don't worry, I will stay behind you, be praying in tongues. She discovered I was never going home. And I never came to the fellowship and said, brethren, you know what I'm passing through to be your pastor here? You don't know what it takes. Eh? See your face. Until you'll be sleeping. Don't complain. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Don't complain. These men were men of status. The Bible says in Acts 5:41, they saw it was honorable to suffer for his name. They were whipped. In verse 40, they were beaten. What did they do? The Bible says in verse 41, they were rejoicing. See the kind of rejoicing. It's not this rejoicing that I'm seeing these days. It's rejoicing to get house and car. So if you're asking God for something and he's doing strong head, just start rejoicing. God is doing stronger, he's doing strong things. But he said, God, I rejoice. Ah, ah, ah. Who cannot be rejoicing to get something from a man? And be praising the man. Ah, ah. Do you get it? They were rejoicing because they were flogged. It was on brethren. As he collected the lashes, he just says, bro, Alex, bless me, sir. So, you know, but I just left the council. You know what happened, sir? You were not told. Well, 4 of us were flogged, sir. Sorry. Thank you, sir. We thank the Lord for everything. No, they were rejoicing. They didn't go on social media, just flow for Christ. Wow. Hallelujah. You know, when the world expects you to be ashamed and you are rejoicing, then you know what it means to follow Christ. So if they mock you like this, and you went to maybe your class test meeting, and they say, sorry, and they are laughing. M-O-G! And you know, everybody is laughing. And they are laughing, real, you know, the kind of laughing, And you are going. You are not rejoicing, you are thinking. The first person you see now says, please, can you explain this scripture? It's not scripture, it's apocrypha. You know, you need to check your discipleship. How are you following? You ought to rejoice. And thank God for what, you know, many of us say, Jesus, he suffered for us. He died for our sins and all that. And we are so excited to hear it. But we don't like the fellowship of his suffering. We don't like it. We don't like to partake of anything that is for his name. These people were flogged. In Acts 13:52, the same thing, they were rejected. There was persecution in 51. And the Bible says that they began to rejoice and they were full of the Holy Ghost and joy. In Philippians 1:29. Are you listening to me tonight? Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to what? Suffer for his sake. For his sake. Write this down. There is no costless service. There is no free service. Thank God for the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, I labor more but than all that put together, but yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. But Paul got to a point in 2 Corinthians 12. He said three times, just like a human being that he was, said, I besought the Lord three times that he might take these sufferings, this persecution away. Everywhere I get to his trouble. He mentioned the CV, and he mentioned how he was stoned, how he was taken for dead. He said, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, therefore, I will rejoice in this persecution. I'll rejoice in this infirmity. That the glory of Christ rests upon me, say, I rejoice in it. I don't complain. I rejoice. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I could be doing this for his name's sake. There's no costless service. There's no costless service. Sometimes it will cost you a whole lot. A whole lot. Your time, your money, your energy. It will cost you your reputation. It will cost you your comfort. I'm not talking about this conference. I'm talking generally. It will cost you your comfort. It will cost you relationships. And so on and so forth. In Luke 14. I close on this. In Luke 14. Jesus calls out every one of us seeking to follow him and serve him. And this is what he says. In verse 26, it's the same thing. If any man should come to me and not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Then he goes further to say, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold, they begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Because the man did not count. The word to count there is in the Greek, it means to consider something well, to take it into account. What will this cost me? What will this? You are in the university and you felt in your heart that God wants you to start a fellowship. It's going to cost you a lot. It's going to cost you comfort times that people are going to play and have fun. You might not have that kind of time again. You will have to really organize your time not to be a failure in school. You'll have to divide your finances. You'll have places you can't go anymore. You probably will have people from your family have a problem. How can you? I sent you to school to go and read, which is legitimate. I sent you to school to excel. What am I hearing? You have to ensure you don't fail in school. And more importantly, you have to ensure you don't fail Christ. And all that will come. You lose relationships. So Jesus says you sit down and count the cost. So you don't start and end without getting to the end. Because I've always told you, faithfulness is never in the past. It's what you are doing now. Why do you see Paul will say, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. Laid before me is the crown of righteousness. Kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. So, it's about getting to the end. Count the cost. Decide what will never get to you again. Decide what will never be priority to you anymore. Decide what will never be what will be of value to you again. Lest you start. You are so much of a blessing a few years ago, not anymore. You now move from a man who was pioneering fellowships and churches and ministries. You are now a deacon, an usher somewhere, doing nothing. Big belly, fat, salary. You are living well, where you stay in the best estates in Nigeria. But brother, there was something you were not able to finish. There's something you started 10 years ago, you were not able to finish it. Except you are not wise. In the little time you have spent in Christianity and in the work of the ministry, you should have seen enough people fall by the wayside. You should have seen enough people who started with you and are no longer with you. That shows you that there's no one that is immune. Learn to count the cost. What is the cost of this? I want to be a person of prayer. There's a cost to it. I want to reach out to the unsaved and win souls every day. There's a cost to it. I want to do this. There is a cost to it. He says you sit down and count the cost. You lose to gain. You let go to have. What you have not given away, you don't control. I've given this away. I've given that away. And by giving it away, Jesus said, that's where you control it. Why? It no longer has control over you. Why will Paul, Philippians 4:12 says, I have been instructed in every circumstance to be independent. I know how to obey. I know how to abound. I'm a master, Paul says, of every circumstance. Why? Because he counted the cost. That there will be times where I will have, there will be times I will not have. There will be times it will be fun, there will be times it's not fun. There will be times that people will like what I'm doing, there will be times it won't be nice. There will be times Paul will preach and the whole city will receive it. There will be other times you get there, they will chase him out. There will be times he will be received, welcomed, and taken care of. There will be times he will be stoned. It's always a mixed bag. Count the cost. Fame may be one of it. Count the cost. Some people the cost is marriage. Some people the cost is that blistering career you sought. It's never general. Individuals have places in their heart that they have given to God, and you must not question anyone. We all won't serve God with the same kind of sacrifice. Mine may be family, yours may be your job, some other may be other things. You mustn't question people who have laid down things for Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Because there is a cost to everything. There's a cost. Someone asked me a question. Sir, sometimes I think it's wrong to go all the way and be a professor. I said, no. Explore your potentials. Be all you can be. But ensure it's not at any cost. So when is the time for you to prefer Jesus, His kingdom, His gospel above this, it will become a conflict. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? You're going to lose. And notice Jesus says you will take up that cross daily. You put things first daily. So it's possible that Last year, I had a good time. I gave it all to him. But this year, things have crept in. Some of you know how it works. A once and for all consecration never works for anybody. It's something you do all the time. And you will be foolish to compare yourself with others. I made up my mind over 22 years ago never to compare my life with anyone. Never. Share anything. Talk about anything you're doing in your world that you're enjoying. It doesn't get to me because I have the cross I carry. It's not yours. It's mine. I know dreams are forsaken. I know things I let go. I know things I don't think about again. I know what I wore as a young boy. I no longer want them anymore. I think about them, but it's gone. You must know that we don't share sacrifice. We share the same Savior. We share the same Lord and Master, but we don't share the same commitment. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Never compare yourself with anybody. They may come from the same home. You may even be in the same church, in the same ministry. But listen to me. You have your own race to run. You have your own sacrifice, your own cost. You count yours. Let me count mine. Let me count mine. Now close and say this. I say it all the time. For every excuse you give, there's someone doing what you have failed to do in your own circumstance. For every excuse you give. For everything you say. Well, you know, you have to understand. Look at this. There's somebody who is doing exactly what you failed to do in your own very situation. It's good to know who you are in Christ. Oh, I am the righteous of God. I'm born of the Spirit. But hear me now. Never forget whose you are. I belong to Jesus. He's my Lord. To follow Him, there's a cost. There's a cost. Paul said to Timothy, said, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of his life. That was a fact. You don't read those kind of things and it wasn't born in your heart. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of his life. All he does is that he may please his boss. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say hardness. Say hardness. Hardness means you would not be smiling. It means you won't be taking pizza and ice cream. Hardness means it's hard. Sometimes you have your own personal challenges. And Jesus is calling you to follow Him to solve other people's challenges. They're thinking, I'm not done with this. No, that's not the point. You are a servant. Well, I know people, and I'm not asking you to do this, who are serious. I remember someone told me one day, he said, imagine I'm there, and all my academics is suffering so much. And I believe that was lack of wisdom then. He said, but every night I'm there, counseling this person, teaching that person. And they go read. I'm still there talking to others. Now I eventually have to fail. Now eventually he got himself back and he passed gradually. So he told me, I'm looking back now. I know I was not wise. I know I wasn't as smart as I should have been. But I'm glad I knew how to serve God in spite of what was happening. So today when you see such men and you see them in the work of the ministry, 20, 30 years or more, never forget, there was a cross somebody bore somewhere. See, you may not like people's doctrines today. You may not like what they preach about money and all that. But yeah, some of the people are some of the most sacrificial human beings that you can ever meet as they were growing up. I learn from that. I do. So if you're here tonight and you've had to suffer something, you've had to lay aside something, I come to encourage you tonight. Don't give up. It's for your Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it. There's a cost to it. Continue. Continue. Those lives will be changed. Those nations will be touched. That church will grow. Yes, that ministry will be established. That nation will be changed for your sake. I encourage you, don't give up. Stay there. Stay there. Men may not understand it, but you know, you know, you know, you know. I encourage you, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep staying in there. It may look shameful in the world, but it's joyful in your, on your inside. You know, there's a cost to following him. You must be ready to bear it. Hallelujah. I tell our pastors when we have business, look, this is what we are called to do. Things may not go smooth as you want it, but who told you serving the Lord makes it smooth? No. No. Every man God has ever used carried their own pains, their own pressures, their own discomfort. But they bore it. They bore sometimes isolation, sometimes rejection, sometimes shame, persecution. Sometimes, you know, men not even value you at all. Sometimes even rejection by the people you were sent to. But keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the ball. Let your eye be single, that your whole body be full of light. Let your mind be fixed on Jesus Christ. I pray for you that your heart remains strong. I pray for you that you will not lose your focus. I pray for you that your heart will not be diverted. I pray for you that your focus will not change. That in the pain, in the pressures, in the discomfort, you will find rest. In all of that, you will see value in what you are doing. The money may not come. It may never come. You may never be rich. You may never be famous for anything in the natural. But heaven knows you. Jesus knows you. He knows you. You may never appear on anybody's magazine. You may never be seen on fashion television. You may never be noticed by any journalist. But someone that matters knows. He knows. He knows what you left behind. He knows what you put aside. He knows the kind of discomfort you go through. He knows what has happened in your family. He knows what happened in your job. He knows what happened in your career. He knows what you had to pass through your academics. He knows everything. He knew you were not doing it out of fanfare or out of casual, or being frivolous. He knew it was for him. You may have done some things in ignorance, some things in exuberance, but your heart was right and you knew it was for Jesus. Hear me, church. Nothing you do for him will go unnoticed. Writer of Hebrews says, God is not forgetful. Oh, he's not. He is not forgetful. He knows everything you think is heavy. And he's so glad someone carries his passion the way you do. Not out of comfort, but out of discomfort. And he is saying to you tonight, rejoice. Be glad. Be glad. Aren't you glad you're just like Jesus? Aren't you glad you're just like Jesus? Fulfilling the Father's will, he's crying and he's crying and he stops crying, he's rejoicing. Aren't you glad you're just like Jesus? You went to a town you knew nobody. You went to a country you knew nobody. You went to a state you knew nobody. You had to change where you live because of what he sent you to do. You couldn't get a house where you wanted. You got a house where you didn't want. But you are happy. And you are doing it for one man who matters. You had to change your job. Your salary is lower than what your mates would have taken. You did that all because you are convinced that this is worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. You ought to have changed nations. You didn't change nations. You stayed where you were to just take on the banner of Jesus Christ. Your friends went. Your colleagues went. Your family went. You saw the pain. You felt it. You knew how it looked like. But you knew something. It was your cross that you were going to carry. No one will carry it for you. And no one shares your consecration to Jesus. It's your own. Pastor can do it for you. Pastor can encourage you. He can be an example to you. He can preach it to you. But you will have to do it for yourself. I pray for you that discouragement will never set in. Nothing will take away your zeal. You will burn continually. You will burn ceaselessly. You will burn continually. You will burn ceaselessly. Pray in the Holy Ghost as we close. In this conference, your life will never remain the same again. You are going back on Friday. A man sold out to the gospel.